You're listening to the Liberty Grace Church Sermon Podcast. For more information, visit libertygrace.ca.
So it's confession time. I have a problem with prayer. That's not even honest. I have a number of problems with prayer. So here's my first problem. I'm just not good at prayer. And that is really scary to admit. Except I'm in good company. I think that the more I talk to people, the more I figure out that really everybody struggles with prayer. One of the stories I think I've told before is an aged, really holy guy that was asked by a publisher to write a book on prayer. And he said, "I'm not the guy to ask. I pray. I have a discipline of praying. I'm just not good at prayer. Why don't you ask this other person?" And they said, "We have." And they said the very same thing, "And to ask you." And so if you're here today and if you find prayer, I mean, don't we all pray instinctively? All of us pray at times. We just catch ourselves praying. And then other times it's hard and we go days without praying. Or maybe we pray one day and it just seems like this is really, really, really hard. That's my first problem with prayer. I pray. I have a daily discipline of prayer. But it's never gotten easier in one sense. Every day it's, I mean, some days are easier than others, but every day it just feels like, man, I'm a beginner at this. That's not even the problem I want to talk about. The main problem I have, at least that I'm thinking of right now, is the Bible seems to make some extravagant claims about prayer. If I were consulting Jesus, and can we all agree that's a good thing I'm not? But if I were there and Jesus was teaching, I can picture myself yanking on Jesus' robe and saying, "Jesus, a word." And, you know, for instance, Jesus is there preaching. And he says this, you know, I picture Jesus in full swing, right? He's preaching and he says this, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you." I'd be like, "Jesus, like, too much. Like, you're promising too much." And he goes, "Everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. To the one who knocks it will be opened." And he says, "Which one of you, if a son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent?" By the way, we're supposed to laugh, I think. It's like, picture that, right? It's like, "Hey, Dad, can I have some bread?" It's like, "Sure, son." And then like, "Dad, this is stone. My tooth is chipped." Like, it's Jesus is saying, like, it's kind of funny, but like, we know that's stupid. No dad would ever do that. Or, you know, like, "Dad, I want some fish." "Well, here's this, you know, like, here you go. It's a snake." And he says this, "If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" I look at this, and the Bible's full of places like this. Jesus says this. And I would see, like, Jesus, put an asterisk there. Put some fine print, right? Like, we need some fine print. Jesus simply says, when we pray, God will answer and give us good things. And so he's basically saying, come. I mean, another time Jesus says, if you have like faith like a mustard seed, which is really like mustard seed is like, if you have just a puny amount of faith, you can move. You can basically say to a mountain, "Move," and it'll move. And I'd be like, Jesus, like, we talked, like, tone it down. And Jesus just simply says, look, Jesus, who knows more about prayer and God's heart than any of us, just says, God is so lavish. It's impossible for you to come and ask too much of God. Like, just come with your requests. Come with your whatever it is. Don't filter it. And God will answer and give you good things. Jesus says that there's nobody who's too presumptuous to come to God if you come sincerely and just tell him whatever's on your mind, knowing that he might not, I mean, this is where I kind of theologize a little bit, knowing that he knows best for us and will give us what's best for us because he's gracious and he cares for us. Here's another, shifting a little bit. Another passage that kind of blows my mind about prayer. 1 Peter 5, verse 7. Casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. So I picture, what if I said today, like, we're just going to begin with Jared, and we're going to go, Jameson next. I kind of know Jameson. He's already shared them. Okay, we'll skip Jameson, go to Godfrey. We're going to go around, and everyone's going to talk about what they're anxious about today. I think by the time we got to Caitlin, I'd be ready for a nap. I'd be like, no offense, Caitlin. It would be Godfrey that would tire me out. It wouldn't be you. Yeah, no. I said by the time I got to you, not by the time I heard you. I mean, like we all know, Kiara's got to live with Godfrey. She's got a lot to deal with. I'd be exhausted. And then it'd be like, I need a nap because I'm overwhelmed with the anxieties of five people. And then I would probably say, I'm done. I'm not coming back. But this verse says we can come with our anxieties to God. If it matters to you, it matters to him. And so, you're going down this is the wrong neighborhood. You're going down, for whatever reason, you've driven to Costco. And it's a Sunday. And you're driving around, and there's no parking spot. You turn the corner, and you say, Lord, let there be a parking spot in this aisle. And then you're like, oh, what am I doing? Like, this is God. Like, God has much more to deal with than this. And this passage basically says, look, if you're anxious about it, pray about it. If it matters to you, if it's stupid, God cares. It's not stupid to him because it matters to you. This blows my mind that it basically the test of whether we can pray about it is if we're anxious about it. God is running the entire universe. There's 8 billion people alive, and yet he invites us to come and talk to him about whatever's on our mind. All our worries, all our cares, all our anxieties, to give it to him. Lord, I don't have enough money this month. I'm anxious. He's like, I'll take that. Like, I care. I care about that. That's the other thing that blows my mind. It says he cares for you. One person says, God is not indifferent, nor is he cruel. He has compassion on his children, and he will sustain them in every distress. And so again, what is God's heart towards you? You're like, man, I'm stressed out of my brain. I've got this anxiety. I just can't handle this situation. And the Bible says God's not there. I have a friend this past week, and he said something. He's a good friend of mine, so I feel like I'm safe with him. And he's like, you just rolled your eyes. And I said, well, I'm sorry, because I was aiming to roll my whole head. Like, I was. And so he's like, and he called me on it. I'm like, sorry, I'll try not to roll my eyes when you say something ridiculous. God never does that to us. We can say something ridiculous. God doesn't roll his eyes. He's much better, a much better friend than any of us have. He cares for us. It's impossible for him to care for you more than he does. And so here are my two problems with prayer, and they're kind of counter, like one doesn't belong with the other. Prayer is hard. Given what I've just said, prayer shouldn't be hard, should it? It's like if I'm anxious about it, God cares about it, and God wants to hear from you or me. And he says, come to me with whatever's on your mind. Keep coming. When Jesus says, knock, seek, ask, it's in the present tense, which means keep on asking, keep on seeking. It's like, knock the heck out of God. Like, keep coming. If as long as you think about it, keep coming. Keep asking, keep seeking. And he says, you can keep doing that. I will never get tired of you. I will give you what's best for you out of an abundance of love for you. That is far too good to be true, and yet it's true. So we're talking about how to build a Liberty Grace rule of life. And first week, we talked about slowing. We're talking basically about what rhythms and practices and habits would help us to love God and others. First week, we talked about slowing. You guys were amazing. Got a ton of responses. And by the way, go to libertygrace.ca/rule of life, because this is meant to be a communal thing. So the first week was amazing. We talked about slowing. Next week, we talked about God's word. And you guys took to heart my first one about slowing, because the responses really slowed the second week. So good job, everybody. But I still got some. So last week, we didn't get nearly as many. I hope that's not a trend, because we really need you to participate in this. But so we talked about, like, life is so frantic. How do we make time for what really matters? And last time we talked about this, curating our inputs, not letting this drive our mind, shaping our mind, and letting Scripture shape our mind. And so today I want to basically build on that, and I really want your input on this. So I'm not just wanting to do a series here. I actually want us to really shape this so this becomes something that shapes us. And so please, as you hear me speak today, really think about, like, okay, like, how do we make this real? How do we make this something that is something that characterizes us as a church? So today I want to look at this prayer, at this too-good-to-be-true resource that we seem to struggle with, and yet it's available for all of us. Now, for a couple of these, I'm going to do something different. I figured instead of me finding a passage and preaching as I normally do, why don't I just turn to Jesus? Because Jesus doesn't teach about every topic that we're going to cover, but Jesus did teach about how to pray. And so I figured, you know, what better place to, as we build our rule of life, than to look at Jesus' instructions for how to pray. And there's a few passages I could have looked at, but I want to look at what Jesus said in this passage and basically try to come up with some ideas of how to build a habit of prayer for all of us. And in the passage that Andre read for us, Jesus gives us three tips on praying. And here's the first one that we looked at, that Jesus gives us. First, remind yourself that you're praying to God. Remind yourself that you're praying to God. So where do I get that from? He says, when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. And he's talking about a common problem in prayer. And I faced this actually last night, as recently as last night. It's this morning, if I think about it, it's easy to pray to impress other people. Last night I was with a couple of friends. Charlie and I went over for dinner. And it's like, would you pray? And he prayed a beautiful prayer. And then it was like, you open one eye and you see if everybody's still got their eyes. Okay, like, I think I have to pray now. Like, nobody said amen yet. I mean, he said amen, but his eyes were still closed. So I begin to pray. And as I begin to pray, I begin to think about, man, I hope this sounds good. Like, I hope that he can agree, man, that was a good prayer. Like, can I go over? That was really a good prayer. And Jesus says, like, there's something within us that every time we pray, it's easy to lose track of actually what's going on. And when we're praying alone, especially when we're praying in front of people, it's easy for prayer to become a performance art done for the benefit of others rather than out of connection with God. And so Jesus tells us what to do. He says, basically, get in your closet and pray privately and keep the focus on God. Jesus is not saying, as one person said to me one time, we should never pray in front of other people. How do I know that? Because Jesus prayed in front of other people. Jesus heard other people pray out loud and said, that was a good prayer. So, and the prayer, by the way, wasn't that impressive. It was like, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus was like, man, that was good. Like, that was really, really good. Jesus is not saying not to pray in front of other people. What Jesus is saying here is, when you pray, make sure the audience is God. Make sure that you remember that you're in God's presence and your focus is on him, not on the people who are with you. You know, the Bible goes even further and says, do any of you ever feel like you're inarticulate? It's like you open your mouth and you want, like, you know, you have something you want to say up here and then it just doesn't come out. And the Bible even goes further and says, when we face this issue, when we're praying and it's like it's just simply not happening, the Holy Spirit is able to say, like, okay, God, Father, this is what he means. This is what she means. Let me interpret, you know, that thing that didn't make sense. Let me interpret it. And the Holy Spirit actually takes even our groanings and turns them into a prayer. And I picture it's like, I really picture it. This is my imagination, like a little kid where it's like, oh, is that a tree? It's like, no, that's you, Dad. And it's like, oh, okay. I almost picture the Holy Spirit taking, like, our unintelligible mutterings to him, and the Holy Spirit saying, this is what it is. Look at that. There it is. And so one of the great Bible teachers says this advice: we should never utter one syllable of prayer, either in public or private, until we are definitely conscious that we have come into the presence of God and are actually praying to him. Not one syllable before we pause and say, wait, I'm actually in God's presence. Like the one who runs the universe, he's actually listening to me right now. I'm going to continue his quote in a minute. One day in seminary, professors, like, you know, we did weird things. Like, we had to wear a jacket and tie, and every class, unlike probably classes you've been to, somebody had to open in prayer. It says, Daryl, open in prayer. So I said, Father, and I said at the end, amen, and the professor just stopped and he looked at me. He's like, did you remember that you were entering the presence of God when you began to pray? I asked you to pray, and there was not even a millisecond before you launched into praying. And I wanted to say, well, like, I spend every moment in prayer to God. But, I mean, the reality is, I didn't pause to think for a minute, I am about to talk to the God of the universe. So this guy goes on to say, I remember what it was that transformed my prayer life. I was brought up to pray. I was taught to pray so early that I didn't even have the slightest recollection of who taught me to pray. But he says, nevertheless, prayer was a mere matter of form. There was little thought of God, no real approach to God. Even after I was converted, even after I entered the pastoral ministry, prayer was largely a matter of form. But he says, the day came when I realized that what prayer meant, that prayer was having an audience with God, actually coming into the presence of God and getting things from him. And he says, that realization changed my prayer life. Before that, prayer was a mere duty, and sometimes a very irksome duty. But from that time on, prayer has not merely been a duty, but a privilege. One of the most highly esteemed privileges of life. He says, before, the thought I had was, how much do I have to spend in prayer? How much time do I have to spend? And now the thought that possesses me is, how much time can I spend in prayer without neglecting the other duties of life? Friends, I mean, just think about this. Jesus says, one of the challenges is we lose track of what's going on in prayer. We think that it's like a performance art. We think that we're doing it. We forget that we're actually talking to God, the God who cares for us, the God who runs the universe. And so here's how I think we can make it practical. What if every time we prayed, we just took a moment, as long as it took to just say, to shift our focus, and to remind ourselves who it is that we're talking to, and made sure that our focus is on him. One of my challenges is, we talked about it the first week, distraction. It's like, what if every time I talked to Char, I wasn't I'm listening and, you know, like doing something else and turned away from her. What if every time she talked to me, I actually looked at her? I'm not there yet, by the way, if you ask her later. But what if I actually, and if you take that to our relationship with God, what if it wasn't just something, in the next minute I'm going to say, do it spontaneously, do it freely. But what if we really worked at our intentionality of realizing that it's God we're talking to and shifted our attention to him, reminding ourselves that it's the God that runs everything, who has seen you at your worst, your most embarrassing, that sees you now in the mess that you are or might be at that time, full of doubt, full of questions. He sees you and he cares about you. And if you've turned to Jesus in repentance and faith, what about if you reminded yourself, and I can approach him without fear. He sees me as perfectly righteous because of Jesus. I am his beloved. He cares about me. What if we, as Jesus says, just shifted our focus to reminding ourselves that it's God we're talking to, that God loves to hear from us, that he wants to hear from us, and that Jesus is right now praying for us. That's the first thing. Second one is going to seem contradictory, so I don't think it is contradictory. So the first one is kind of to give more thought to who it is that we're approaching. Here's the second part of what Jesus says. It might seem contradictory. Number two, tell him whatever is on your mind. So it's almost like Jesus says, hey, like, take more seriously who you're coming to and take less seriously what you say to him. It's almost like think more about who it is you're praying to. Think less about the content of your prayers. Just come to him and tell him whatever's on your mind. In this passage, Jesus says, there's a group of people that when they pray, they heap up empty phrases, as the Gentiles do. They think that that they will be heard for their many words. They thought that there's maybe a right way to pray that would unlock God's willingness. It's almost like, say that you're a guy and you really like a girl, and it's like you buy one of those books that's like how to really win a girl's heart, and you're in there like, oh, maybe there's like a paragraph in here, and if I memorize this paragraph and I find a girl and say these words, her heart will melt. And yeah, I see you're going, nope, doesn't work. And it's almost like this approach to God, like maybe if I find just the right words to say, it will unlock God's heart and he'll say, yes. It's almost like the combination, right? Like you said, those were the string of words. String those together. If you're off a syllable, but get it right, I hear you. And here, it's ridiculous when you think about it. And Jesus says the opposite is true. Drop all of that. Simply believe that God cares and that he knows what you need even before you pray. I love how Jared Wilson puts it. He says prayer is spilling your guts to God. How great is that? Like, there's no editing. There's no anything. It's just like, I'm going to spill my guts to God. You don't need the right words. God is already aware of what you need. Focus on the God who cares for you, who knows you better than you know yourself. If you ever are wanting to read somebody who's been dead for 500 years and who will entertain you to death, I suggest you pick up Martin Luther. Colorful character in church history. Very colorful character. He said this about prayer. The Gentile delusion is that prayer meant making both God and oneself tired with yelling and murmuring. But he says this, the Christian prayer is easy. And in brackets, I put an exclamation mark, like, really? But he's like, for a Christian, praying is easy. It does not cause hard work. It simply presents its need from the heart. Prayer is that easy, he says. Just simply present your need to God from the heart. Faith quickly gets through telling what it wants. God has no need of such everlasting twaddle. I love that. God doesn't need your everlasting twaddle. Just come to him and speak simply from your heart. And Martin Luther goes on to say that the ancient fathers, the early church fathers, have said correctly that long prayers are not the way. Doesn't that take all the guilt off, by the way, for if you ever feel like, man, I'm not praying long enough? Throughout church history, the best saints have said, it's not about how long you pray. They actually recommended short, fervent prayers, where one sighs towards heaven with a word or two, as is quite often possible in the midst of reading, writing, or doing some work. Like, talk about guilt relieving, right? Don't worry about long prayers. Don't worry about twaddling on and on. Just like, oh God, I need your help right now. God, help me. God, you know, just in the middle of whatever the need is, spill your guts to God. Tell him whatever's on your mind. Don't think there's a correct way to pray, any more than there's a correct way for a little toddler to come to mom or dad. You know, like, it's like, it's not like any parent's ever like, you know what? You didn't stumble. You didn't toddle up to me the right way. Go away. You know, like, just like, come to God. And no parent ever says, you know what? You're crying again. Like, and you're snotty. Like, you're going to get me all snotty with your, it's like, come. Come. Just as you are, come to me. Remember who you're coming from. Remember, I care for you. Tell me whatever's on your mind. one last guideline that Jesus gives. And it's going to seem maybe restrictive. I think it's actually freeing when we look at it properly. Third suggestion that Jesus gives is to use his model prayer. In case you ever think, and this is like, I've just told you to pray spontaneously, whatever's on your mind. I think what Jesus gives us here is actually like, and if you ever wonder, if you're ever stuck for something to say, here's a suggestion. You can't go very wrong. Here's an example of how you should pray that will really help you. I think of the dance studio. I don't know if you've ever seen the Arthur Murray dance studio where they've got the footprints on the floor. And it's like, you know, what you do is, you know, you put, and then I got kicked out of there, by the way, because I couldn't even do that. So they're like, Shar, they said, Shar, you can stay. You're welcome back. The guy you're with, get out of here. Like, don't come back. It's hopeless. So, but I figure, like, this is almost Jesus putting the footprints on the floor saying, here's how you pray. Like, put your step here. And then, you know, you can't fail. It's like, I can't even fail at this. Just do this. One guy writes, Jesus gives an example of the perfect prayer. Donald Trump has ruined that for me now, by the way. It's like the perfect phone. I think the perfect phone call now. But, you know, here it is. Jesus gives us an example of the perfect prayer. This is like the Lord's Prayer, which is, if you want to know what prayer is perfected, this is it. And here's the thing about this prayer. It takes 20 seconds to pray. It is so simple that a two-year-old can say and memorize the words. And if prayed sincerely, it is a most pleasing prayer. The thing about this prayer, as I've said, it's simple, it's quick to pray, and yet you could take a lifetime exploring it. My uncle is a preacher, a man, he's now retired, I really respect him. He's written a book on prayer, the Lord's Prayer. I began reading it, and it was almost like I had to stop at every page. Like, I would read a page of his reflections on the Lord's Prayer, and it would be like, I just need to stop. There's so much in this one page on one section of the Lord's Prayer. Like, there's a light, you could spend a lifetime exploring it. It's so rich and yet so simple. Now, a lot of us maybe grew up hearing that the Lord's Prayer, you know, there are certain religions that or denominations that say it, and it's meaningless repetition. They just say it and it's dead. I think Jesus gave it to us as a gift. And we do well to actually learn from the denominations that say it. And not that we should just say it without meaning it, but Jesus meant us to use it that way. Jesus meant us to use it as a almost like training wheels, as a guide for our own prayers. And so, friends, I need your help to make this practical. But how do we pray? I think part of it is just, let's just remember that we're coming to a God who cares about us. We're coming to a God who can't wait to hear from you. You're coming to a God who loves you. If you're anxious about something, he cares about it. And he says, actually, give it to me. Like, he's not just saying, share your anxieties with me. He's actually saying, give them to me. Like, whatever you're anxious about, it's too heavy for you. Just hand it over. If you're worried about it, I'll take it from you. I care about it. I care about you. And then Jesus says, remember who you're coming to. Like, the one who controls. Right now, I mean, if you think about it, you think you're sitting on a chair. If you want to get into, like, the nature of what matter is, and, like, right now, all the atoms that make up what looks like solid to us. Right now, God is every single atom in your body and in that chair. God's like, do this right now. Like, hold, and it's like, and all of you, like, God is, and all of this world, and all of this, the galaxy, and all of the universe, God is running it all, and he cares for you. God can do anything, and he invites you to come. And God says, don't try to impress others. There's no need for articulate prayers, because I can translate them. Just come to me. Remember who it is. Pray whatever's on your mind. If you need help, here's a prayer. The big idea of today is this. Come to God because he cares for you. Remind yourself of who he is and tell him what's on your mind and use Jesus' model prayer. It's simple. There's enough there yet, though, to keep us occupied for the rest of our lives. And this week, I really hope you go to the website, because I need your help. Like, when I said I struggle in prayer, I'm preaching this now. I believe every word I've said. And yet I know this week I'm in a struggle to remember these things. So please help me. Let's help each other learn how to pray and take advantage of God's willingness for us to come to him. The Lord teach us to pray. Thank you that Jesus cares for us. Thank you that Jesus died for us. Lord, I pray that you would fill us with wonder that we're coming to the God of the universe, the one who knows the worst about us, the one who knows our future, the one who knows the day and the minute we will die. Lord, the one for who, I mean, you're on your throne, you're running everything, there's nothing out of your control, and you invite us to come to you with everything on our mind. Why would we try to impress anybody else when we're talking to you? Father, thank you that we can come freely to you through Jesus. In the Old Testament, the high priest could only come in once a year, only one guy. And even then, he had to do all these preparations. We can run to you. Lord, we have unfettered access to you. Thank you. And thank you, we don't have to say certain words, but Lord, you just invite us to come and tell us whatever's on our mind. And Lord, we even thank you that you've given us an example prayer that we can use and adopt and tweak and grow into. And so, Lord, we all struggle with prayer, but we need prayer. Help us to get better at this. And I pray that we would not just pray more, but that we would enjoy you more as we talk to you about everything. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.